difficile.
Well, good morning. Open your bulletins for the notes and for a responsive reading that I'm going to lead in just a minute. And then open your Bibles to the book of Philippians. I'm going to have you juggling today. And first, I'm going to introduce myself. My name is Paul Mutchler, and I'm the interim pastor here at the church, privileged to share God's word with you every Sunday as together as a church you formulate and call a long-term lead pastor. And I'm reminded to do that. I'm a little bit embarrassed that I haven't done that before because I met a guy who shares my name this morning. And I said, "Oh, that's my name too." And he said, "Well, who are you?" Christian, you've been gone long enough that you should almost get a visitation call this week from the elders. But the big guy that started out looked like one of the Smith brothers from the cough drops. That was the regular full time carrying a double load associate pastor, Christian McAllister, here at the church. I'm reminded to do this because we don't know. We don't know. I've been attending Palmyra Grace now for 6 months, and this morning I realized I know everybody's name up there. Now, it only took me 6 months, and next week there's going to be a different praise team up there, so it's another test, you know. But I'm real blessed to know the number of new attenders at Palmyra Grace within the last 6 months. Now, if... This is not, I love, you know, the Philippian church started with Lydia and her household. That's fancy talk for Lydia and her family. And then they told the cousins. And then they intermarried and all this stuff, you know. And so you get a church, at Philippi, you had a church full of Kellers and relations, a full church full of Martins and relations, you know. It's good that we have comfort zones of families and friends here, but let's always be on the lookout for the guy that doesn't even know where the bathrooms are yet today, okay? Let's be sensitive to the new people. So somebody remind me, introduce myself again next week. But when you guys are up there, let's see, who was that? Oh, okay, I'm not Rick. Rick was one of the guys up there. Tell us who you are. Because people might go, "Oh, I've been seeing that guy for a couple of weeks. I don't know who he is," and it's Rick. Okay, so that's just getting to know us. By the way, I like your convenience or your commitment over convenience for Nick at Night, where you're all going to park on the far perimeter. That's smart. Now, you might want to think about someday, too, a church strategy of everybody parks in the lot between here and the athletic fields. Nobody parks out there in the big one. Now, why would I recommend that? Who knows? Pardon me? It looks like there's a lot of people here. And speaking for guys, when we're driving by businesses or places, we go, "Oops, three or four cars, losers." Oh, look at that parking lot, clear full. Something's happening in there. Guys, don't we do that? Okay? You know, now, if you've been coming here for a while, you look at it and you go, "Oh, I'm not going there today. No parking spots left." But better off, we actually, at my last church in Lanham, Maryland, zoning required, number one, lots of trees so that buildings couldn't be seen from the road. But fortunately, they die off. And then they put most of your parking must be on the other side of the building. And so we often had, for a church that had been there for decades, we often had people in the community said, "Oh, I didn't know you guys were, I didn't know you guys had a school up here. I thought you were closed." Because on Sunday morning we had exactly 8 parking spots that were visible from the road. But they required a little extra commitment to walk up the hill after you're parked to go get in the front door. And so everybody was trying to park as close as they could to the front door. And so we actually sat down and talked as a family and said, for the sake of the community, please fill those first 8 parking slots first so that people think something's going on here. We're just one step above animals, you know? We need some help. So that's why you put money into the front appearance of your church. Men determine the success of a business on curb appeal, especially churches. Looks good. Oh, something must be going on in there. Looks bad. Not going there. Just creatures of habit. And that's psychology. That's not scripture. Now let's get to scripture, okay? Let's open your books to your Bibles to Philippians 4. What else? Yeah. Okay. And I'm going to ask Linda, my wife, to come up and help me on a responsive reading. Just a review, we've been going through the principles of being content in a contentious world. And we've been all through that. Some of you today might go, what, we're still in Philippians? I thought we finished that last week. Well, yeah, kinda. But I'm a Christian education guy that knows that repetition, and I'm a marketing guy that knows that repetition is the key. So today is a summarization of things that we should have learned that we should be able to look across the table at somebody and they should be able to say, you know what? You are more content. In fact, you seem to have more joy in your life. So in just a little bit, we're going to be looking at about 8 or 9 principles of producing rejoicing. Key verse I saw in the church newsletter went out this year is Philippians 4:4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, Paul says, rejoice. So we're going to cap those with this reminder from Colossians 3. I want you to read it with me in a responsive reading. Don't know how long ago it might have been or if you ever did responsive readings, but that means when it says leader, I'll read that part. When it says all, that's all. When you see all, that's all that all means. And yeah, it's in the bulletin. You should have it in front of you. Yours looks like this, though. And then men read when it says men, women read when it says women, okay? And I'll be reading with the guys. Linda will read with the ladies so that we don't get distracted by not being comfortable with it, because it's a great therefore passage. As a result of everything you've been learning, thinking about, being challenged about in the book of Philippians, now let's consider this admonition that Paul writes to another church during the same time of imprisonment in chapter 3 of Colossians. Let's stand as we read this responsive reading together. Okay. Paul writes, since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Amen. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived.
But now you must rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Here there is no Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all.
Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy, dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience.
Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity.
Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you are called to peace, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Amen. You may be seated. Going to roll through Philippians with these principles of rejoicing. How does this all work out? We've talked about being content and contentious time. Today, the key passage that I'm summarizing from is the actual greetings, the final greetings, where he says, greet all the saints. And again, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ is your Savior, you haven't declared this. He has declared you're a saint. You're one that I have set free. You're one that I am sanctifying. He says, greet all the saints in Christ Jesus. The brothers who are with me send greetings. All the saints send you greetings, especially those who belong to Caesar's household. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with your spirit. Amen. I'd underlined that phrase, Lord Jesus Christ, because it appears 40 times in these four chapters of Philippians. Number one, our joy is all about our focus, our living, our obedience, our submission to our Lord Jesus Christ. First principle, our attitude toward other people. Philippians 1, 3 through 4 and 8, part of his greeting is all about being thankful for others, praising God for others, and praying for others. Attitude towards others, pretty much on the positive side. Determination to see the good in one another. Second principle is an acceptance of difficult places. You remember he's writing while he's imprisoned. This is one of his softer imprisonments. He was allowed to rent an apartment with funds supplied by the Philippian church, but he was chained 24/7 to a Roman guard. And he accepted that and reminded the believers there, don't feel too bad for me, because now members of you, in the final greeting, it was the members of Caesar's household. How did they come to Christ? How did they become saints? Because they had to listen to a preacher for 8-hour shifts, chained to him. They saw it, they heard it, they lived it. Difficult places often advance the gospel. And he said that one of the key privileges for a believer in Jesus Christ is to also embrace and endure same suffering that we saw in him. Third principle after our attitude and acceptance is anticipation of the Lord's presence. He said, I've finally got a real balance and a real peace here, because to live is Christ, to die is gain. That's the words of a believer who has real peace. I'm here on mission. I'm here to teach music. I'm here to build widgets. I'm here to heal people. Yes, but for the believer, the real mission is to be a witness of the glory of knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. And through my manufacturing, teaching, coaching, living, serving in the community, I have a platform for sharing a faith, a way of life. You anticipate the Lord's presence. Fourthly, it's an application of the Lord's example. I'm going to read because we've been reading from the NIV and the English Standard Version. I'm reading this morning from a paraphrase, which is not a word-for-word literal translation, but when done by credible scholars, faithful to the original languages, they can be pretty interesting. Application of the Lord's example, reading from the Message, was he reminds the... Oops, sorry. I was going to start reading to the Ephesians there. He reminds us, the Philippians, about the example of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, if you've gotten anything at all out of following Christ, if his love has made any difference in your life, if being in a community of the Spirit means anything to you, if you have a heart, if you care, then do me a favor. And Paul is writing with the assumption that the answer to every one of those questions is yes. Then do me a favor. Agree with each other. Love each other. Be deep-spirited friends. Don't push your way to the front. Don't sweet-talk your way to the top. Put yourself aside and help others get ahead. Don't be obsessed with getting your own advantage. Forget yourselves long enough to lend a helping hand. Think of yourselves the way Christ Jesus thought of himself. He had equal status with God, but didn't think so much of himself that he had to cling to the advantages of that status no matter what. Not at all. When the time came, he set aside the privileges of deity and took on the status of a slave. He became human. Having become human, he stayed human. It was an incredibly humbling process. He didn't claim special privileges. Instead, he lived a selfless, obedient life and then died a selfless, obedient death, and the worst kind of death at that, a crucifixion. Be one in mind, love, spirit, and purpose. It's what our world needs to see from Paul Myra Grace. That sets us apart. Especially important when we're in a process of searching and praying, seeking and, Lord willing, calling, and then submitting ourselves to the authority of a lead pastor at the Lord's time. Apply the Lord's example. He puts a premium on humility. Number five. Appreciation for the Lord's servant. The passages here remind us about Timothy, who his name meant to love God. Paul described him as a kindred spirit, equal soul, equal soul. You find one of those in this lifetime, hang on. They're rare. Paul could trust ministry to Timothy because he was equal soul. Probably because Paul had mentored and trained him and Timothy had been a willing learner, but there was a characteristic in Paul, in Timothy, that Paul could trust, as well as Epaphroditus, whose servant-style leadership among the church and to Paul was such that he indeed, like his name, was a lovely guy. And he says, welcome and honor these who have been serving the Lord. Number six, the approach to your past. Man, we are a culture and civilization of pedigrees. Especially now, as it's my privilege to work in an academic institution, everything matters according to the letters behind your name. B.S., B.A., M.Div., M.A., Ph.D., Now, what you'll find in a healthy institution like like LBC is, we recognize that that means the guy that's got the doctorate level means he's organized, disciplined, and proceeded in a manner of which he achieved the goal of mastering a topic. And I don't think we let too many guys walking around thinking that they're the greatest thing since sliced bread because they got a certain number of letters after their names. But that's our culture. That's our culture. In the pop culture, after the name comes, who starred on, who was on, who married the 13th time. Paul said, and if you read two or three times, he's in sharing his testimony, you go, oh man, the guy's got pedigree. He said, rubbish, dung. Yes, God uses our background, our training, our heritage, our family, but compared to Jesus Christ, it could become actually an obstacle, a burden. The key is knowing Christ, and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his suffering. That's your real pedigree. Stop, think about it. I haven't seen too many letters beside people's names on tombstones in cemeteries. Because when the end comes, that stuff really, really doesn't matter. And instead, you're transferring to a world and a realm and a kingdom of which what matters is we fall down and we call you holy, holy, holy. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for calling me your child. Thank you for giving me the privilege to be in a body that was the living, breathing manifestation of Jesus Christ to Palmyra community. Thank you. Then in agreement with godly models, he says, join with others, be an example, take note of the pattern you've seen in me. Choose your heroes. And consider some of the greatest heroes are the steady Eddies. Rose Weisenauer. You don't know her? She was my first, second, third grade primary Sunday school teacher for 156 Sundays during a time period where I got pins for perfect attendance. And she was 4'6", nothing attractive, old maid, but for 156 Sundays, I would turn that corner on the last eight steps going up to my Sunday school class, and she'd go, oh, Paul, I am so glad to see you. Jesus loves you. And I thought, you know what? I hope I don't get caught up too much in life, in pastoring, and mortgages, and fixing things, and cats. My cat died. I told you I had a cat last week. I don't have a cat. Died in 5 days. It's okay. I should have known better. Anyhow, and on the day she died, the SPCA, who I got her from, diseased. They went out of business. Go figure. But you get caught up in so much stuff, you forget to be a radiant person saying, you know what? I'm so glad to see you, all three physical therapists today. I'm so glad to see you. Jesus loves you. Wow. Now, that's a pedigree to have following your name in your obituary. He told others, he showed and told others of Jesus Christ. Next principle, these are principles of rejoicing, of being joyful people. Number 9 is assurance of God's peace. Adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication. Don't worry about anything, but give it over to the Lord. He will guard your hearts. He will guard your minds. reverse, in the Lord Jesus Christ. Number 10, an aspiration to be found in Christ. Philippians 4 talks, 4:4 is rejoice in the Lord in everything, and again I say rejoice. 8 through 13 tells you how to do that. You program yourself with the positive, and you do all in Christ, and you think about such things. We saved money this spring, cut off our cable TV. Ben, it's a withdrawal process a little bit. And yet, you know what? One of the benefits of that withdrawal have been, I'm not walking around with a twisted gut over cities, drugs, Syria, Russia, or Trump. Because my Lord's book tells me that he knows it's all under his control, all under his tolerance, and that the guy who can maneuver those, like Peter, keeping his eyes on Jesus, could have made it through the wind and the waves. That's how we do it. That's how you become joyful people. I'll bet you Rose Weisenauer didn't know the contemporary things that were showing up on the newspaper of horror, fright, and fear of that day, because she was too busy knowing Jesus and knowing that she wanted to make sure that Paul and Brad and Chuck and a bunch of us ordinary little guys came to know Jesus. Aspire to be found in Christ. Lastly, number 11, the advantages of a great supply. We talked about that last week. All your needs are met according to his glorious riches. And then he closes, greet all the saints in Christ Jesus. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. I had some ungraceful days this week. I didn't like myself, and I think probably that was pretty universally accepted all through my employees and my wife and probably that cat. But, and it caused me to sit down, and I could have listed all the reasons why I was right in being grumpy, or I could have sat down and praise the Lord for a daily quiet time where I come face to face with the Lord, where he reminded me, be careful about your reactions. Guard your tongue. Appreciate others to your expense. Oh, that can balance your life out, and no more Malox moments. Don't need the Tums anymore. This is a mess, but the Lord is in charge of it, and I get to be here with a spirit of grace. That's how to have joy. That's how to have joy. Greet all the saints in Christ Jesus. Next week, I'm going to introduce a short 3-minute thing somewhere in every service called the Barnabas Moment, Getting to Know You. Again, I've been impressed with how many people are new to Palmyra Grace. And then I've been impressed with how many people have been around forever at Palmyra Grace. And I appreciate when you converted from gas lights to electric. Some have been around a long time. But I'll bet you one of the greatest needs here is for the long-timers to get to know the new-timers. And both will have a rich experience getting to know one another in this effort at Palmyra Grace. So I'm going to tell you ahead of time. Unless I'm having a really grumpy day, I will always contact you ahead of time if I want to interview on a certain Sunday. But these are the questions I'm going to ask every couple or every individual in this getting to know you process. And no, you don't have to submit to an interview, but yes, it builds the body of Christ. I'll ask you your names. Got any children? Where do you live? Where did you grow up? Tell a little bit about your history. How did you two meet when it's a married couple? What's your church or religious background? Just a nugget. How long have you been at Grace Brethren Church? How and when did you commit to Jesus Christ? What ministries are you involved in? Any hobbies or interesting stuff about you? Now, that's because most of us can remember a little bit more. I'm never going to forget Ken New because I figured out his name. He's on the praise team, and then God did the whammy about him being a physical therapist. I got a hook on Ken, okay? He's got kids, he sings, and he's a physical therapist. More chance that I'm going to remember him and appreciate him because of that hobby, that thing, whatever. It's not always career related. And then a Barnabas moment. Do you have a specific prayer request for us? Something you want us to pray for? And these are 3-minute interviews, so this is why you, A, know the question ahead of time. Why, if you start preaching, I'll pull your mic away from you. But it's just a chance for us to get to know. If you're like me, you're probably sitting there and you've seen that gray-haired guy for weeks or months and you've wondered about him. You've seen that teenager showing up a lot. You've seen, and you go, that's pretty cool. You interview them, people meet one another, you're building the body of Christ. So I'm going to introduce that. And then today, again, now next for the next 4 weeks, I'm going to pick out some dynamic psalms. I only have to choose between 150 of them. So I get to preach 4 of the most impactful psalms to me, and they'll be standalone. But in particular today, I wanted to flash through Psalm 100, because how do you be joyful? How do you be rejoicing in all things? How do you live principles of joy? Well, you shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. God is and we are. God is a song, we're the singers. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us and we are his. He's creator, we're the creation. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. He's the blessed one. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. He's the blessed one, the one doing the blessing. We're the ones getting the blessing. For the Lord is good and his love endures forever. He's the loved. He's the love. We're the loved ones. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Now I'm going to take a little bit of a risk. I have learned with the changing culture and music that maybe some of the younger folk in the Grace today don't know this song, but it's easy to learn and you should know it. So I'm going to ask you, we're going to sing, I'm going to close in a word of prayer, and then we're going to sing the benediction, and it's going to be Old 100th. Psalm 100, set the music. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And then probably got to sing the Amen. And that's Hebrew for, yeah, I agree with this. I'm affirming it. That's a goal, and I'm screaming score. That's what Amen means. Okay, let's stand and I'll close this in prayer. Father, thank you for giving us joy, for giving us a reason for joy, giving us peace that guards our hearts, our minds, that gives us a reality of honoring one another with humble spirits, of moving, breathing, living together, one mind, one heart, one burden, one purpose. Oh, how good it is for us to be reminded of that as this week. It's not about us. It's all about Palmyra. And it's about kids and moving them from craziness to Christ. Lord, thank you for all the work that's gone in preparation. May we be committed to prayer for this next month of outreach. And may you see people come to know Christ, move closer to Christ. And Lord, if you would add to Grace, we'd be thrilled. Father, we are grateful for who you are, and we want to sing a praise prayer ending to this service together. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.